morning, beautiful people. I'm Babs Ross Ivy. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. That's the very frozen Harry Droz. You know what? We spent last week talking about the Russians. They messing with us now. Good morning. So the weatherman said, oh, it's 20 degrees in New Haven, but dress like it's 5. And I'm thinking to myself, Harry, anything below freezing is 5 degrees. Anything below freezing is just cold. I mean, what? It's all 5 degrees.
I know.
That's like it's 5 degrees as opposed to 10 degrees.
Yeah, they say you don't want to expose your skin for more than 40 seconds. So, wait a minute. So, just it's Arctic weather out there. That's all they should do.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Just bundle up. If you don't bundle up, you know, bundle up.
And they'll say anybody who works outside has to, you know, prepare because they any skin exposure, you could get frostbite pretty quickly. Man, I would hate to work for a boss that has me working in below zero, unless I live in Alaska, which is different, right? That's a choice of living in Alaska, but I don't know. What are you going to do because over here, it's the wind chills around zero. Yeah. What can you do in the cold? I don't know.
Well, you could take a walk.
Yeah, but if you're standing, you know, those people who are directing traffic because there's some construction work. You can't really work a jackhammer in this freezing weather.
Oof. Well, you know, they all bundled up, Harry, so. But, you know, if you do that work, you're used to it, yeah. I guess.
Thank God I don't do that work.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't be good outside working. Like, I'd be a terrible park ranger this time of year. I could do it in the, like, when it's nice, when it's warm.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
When I went and I did the CDL license for school bus driving years ago. You know, it was when I was trying to figure out
what to do.
Doing stuff for fun, right? So,
Harry, I can't imagine you driving a bus with badass kids on it.
Well, you know, so, but I never did. I didn't get to that point. You know me, I just went and got the license. And then I said, nah, just like I've been an Uber driver for 4 years.
I know. And driven that one person.
Yeah. So, but when they were training me, they told me always keep a bottle with you. And I'm like, what? Oh, because there's nowhere to stop. To, you know, use the bathroom and stuff. I'm like, hold up. You're driving a school bus. He's like, oh, yeah, you have to wait till all the kids are off the bus. But, you know, you just keep an emergency bottle to urinate. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm sure this isn't in the policies and procedures.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
A soda bottle. So imagine, I mean, out there, if you're directing traffic in the middle of nowhere, I guess you got to keep a bottle, right?
I don't. I tell you what's winning me over. The new airport at Tweed, Harry, the new airline, Avilo. So they're running these ads that say, escape the winter, go to Palm Beach. We got you. We take you there. So, Harry, they showed a guy standing, just like you just said, in the dead of winter with snow on him, the whole nine. And then they show the beaches of Palm Beach. Harry, I'm getting on the plane. That's it. I'm done. I'm going to Palm Beach.
I mean, how close? Palm Beach is more central, right, Florida?
I don't know where it is. I don't care.
I'm just saying because
it's, you know, the Florida, it's on Georgia, the water.
The Florida-Georgia line was pretty cold the last week.
Oh, that's, you know, you're right about that. But no, really I think West Palm Beach. Oh yeah, they sit nice. I'd go to West Palm Beach. I'd go right there and hang out in the airport, Palm Beach Airport. I'd go there. Yeah.
That sounds good. I mean, if you could get a flight.
And they're pretty cheap too, you know. I don't want to measure things by cheap though, Harry, because cheap means, you know, all kinds of people get on the plane.
You could go with cheap, but when you look at Spirit and Frontier.
Wait, you got to worry about people stealing stuff out of your luggage with Spirit.
Oh, my God.
They just got hit with another one of those people getting their stuff stolen by the Spirit baggage claim people. And like, come on.
Frontier's the same way. And then Frontier, you have to pay for everything. Right? You have to pay for every single thing, right? So it's like, you want water? That's $4. You know, it's like, you want to take a deep breath? $15. You know, it's like crazy. I can't do those cheap airlines anymore. If I'm going to pay all of that, I'm just going to go to a normal airline.
No, I'm with you.
We have somebody in the hostage room.
We do.
That's not one of our interns. Kim Weston?
Oh, she's not out until 10. Well, maybe she just wanted to log in.
A whole hour early?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, she just might want to just be in the room. You know, because some people's Wi-Fi is a little janky, so they got to, like, warm it up. Warm it up, Kane. Warm it up, Kane. Warm it up, Kane.
You know, you don't have to warm up your cars.
I know.
These new cars
don't need it. You just get in and go.
Of course, if you're afraid of the cold, you should warm up your car because your seats are still frozen.
Yeah, but if you got a coat on.
Yeah, I mean, I get in and I'm out. But Karen warms up her car for 20 minutes.
Oh. So she can hop right in. It's toasty.
Yeah.
Listen, I ain't mad at her.
Not me. I'm out.
Me too, Harry. I ain't warming up nothing. I let it, as I'm driving, it's warming up. That's how I feel. So we got word on the street today, right? What time are they coming on?
9:40.
Okay. So, everybody, we got word on the street. So, Harry, you got to send it to me in another way so I could post it. Or post it up on our Facebook so I could share it. Because I love it. I was like, and people liked it. I got good feedback. People were like, I like this. We just have to send them interesting places. Any bars open at this time of morning? I mean, if you could get a hot dog at 10 o'clock, damn it, you should be able to get a cocktail, too. I don't want to send the babies to get. I want to send the babies to get cocktails, though. That's not it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to send the babies to get a cocktail.
Send them to closing time at the strip clubs. Have all those people coming out. I think today they're at the dog park. I think.
You know, I don't really.
But you know, it's hard, you know, coming up with because the thing is that they're brainstorming. I think the word on the street, I just noticed that I got us double time on our stream. Anyway, it's hard to come up with topics and, you know, brainstorm stuff like that. But, you know, really, word on the street or what I like to call the man on the street is...
It's not man on the street, Harry, because we're talking to all kinds of people. I know, so stop saying man. It's word on the street. That's not hard.
Person on the street. Yeah.
It's not person on the street. It's word on the street.
Word on the street.
You know, what you hear.
Yeah.
You know, what you hear. What you hearing out there.
Yeah, you know, for me, word on the street is, you know, you go up to anybody and you just be like, what's up?
Well, no. Well, you got to go with a You got to go with a question or a observation. So how about those Mets? You know, or how about Brady? You know, walk up to somebody, ask them about Brady.
That's true.
You think he should retire?
Yeah.
Hey, what about that filibuster?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get much of that. People be
listen,
like, huh?
If you were annoyed about last week's game and you not annoyed about the filibuster, then you're not making the correlation between their one and the same. I'm just saying, if you're upset about the way the game went down and you're not upset about the filibuster, are you doing? Are you even a sports fan?
You just put two things together, right? So you said filibuster and what happened in the game, and people are going, is the filibuster what happened in the third quarter? Is that what they're calling a fumble these days? you're right, though. It's those type of questions that I like, because it really goes to the heart of whether the people out there know what's happening in America. You know, because the filibuster is like the hugest thing right now in politics, right? So it's like...
So and people don't even know the roots of it. The filibuster was used to keep the vote, to keep slaves. The filibuster was used for that, so that Southern states wouldn't lose the right to slaves. Well, Northern states too, because there was a great deal of slaves in New York. But people didn't want to lose the right to their access to slavery. So the filibuster allowed them to delay the vote. Can you imagine? If we go on the street and ask people, do you know the roots of the filibuster? I guarantee you people will be like, damn, that's messed up. And then you fast forward to 2022. Do you still think we should be using something that was used to harm? Because its roots are to harm.
There's plenty of history with the filibuster, right? But just the fact that it's a major tool, you know, for the minority party to just basically stop everything that's happening in government.
Well, it's a major tool when you feel like it, because it's not used all the time. It's only when you feel like it, when ish ain't going your way.
Well, these days, that's what there is.
Let's call for the vote. Just call for the vote. That's it. Up, down. I'm like Tina Turner in Thunderdome. One man enters, one man leaves. Let's go with that. Harry, if we had to set up a ring in Congress and oil people down and let them fight, who you think would win?
That's when you start voting for The Rock as your congressman.
Because you wanna
you're not gonna have Chuck Schumer. You're not gonna vote for Chuck Schumer and who's the Mitch McConnell.
Oh my God! Can you imagine McConnell in the ring with anybody?
I know you're not gonna vote for that guy. But
Mitch, we're not gonna tag you in on this one, bro.
Who do you want in the Thunderdome?
Not Mitch McConnell. not Mitch Puffy McConnell. Cruz don't look like he can lift nothing but a burger. And I'm not trying to fat shame him. Because I don't think he's fat. What I think he is sloppy.
Well, Ted Cruz reminds me of a friend of mine. I remember we were walking. You probably know these streets. Up Myrtle Avenue, you know, it's right off of Bushwick. Mm-hmm. And a group of guys came up to, it was me and two friends. And they came up to us and they wanted to take the hat my friend was wearing. You know, and we're like, yeah, you ain't getting nothing. You know, I guess we're going to have to fight right here. You're more than us, but my friend just took all our power away. right? Because he stopped and he goes, gentlemen, violence is not the answer. And we all looked at him like,
all right.
What? but he squashed the whole thing because we were all shocked.
I know, you're like, oh, we never considered that.
Yeah, it was like, huh? And, you know, the guy was like, ah, man. He was confused. He was like, man, forget it. We're out. And it's like, yeah, I never tried that. I never tried telling the guy, hey, this is not going to lead to a fisticuffs. I never thought of that.
Oh, my God. There's honor. 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 I'm going to be honorable. Oh, there's a whole story up on, Word on the Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know there was a whole post. Look at that.
Yep, and we got it on Instagram.
And somebody commented. Although the word on the street, I needed not to be green. I needed to be red. I told y'all.
The word on the street, red?
The sign.
What sign?
In the New Haven Independent piece.
Oh. And I tried to put it on Twitter. It's too big for Twitter.
Miguel Pittman said, Miguel Pittman Sr. said, Steve is an informational specialist. If you need to know what's happening, what's going on the street, spend $2 for a hot dog. It's worth the investment. Listen, we're going to have everybody over there getting a hot dog to get the word. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
We should get free hot dogs, Babs. That's free.
No, I don't want free hot dogs, Harry, because actually, hot dogs are very bad for you. Yeah. I don't want them every day. I want them once or twice a year, Harry. Once or twice a year. That's about all I could stand.
You don't want to see how those things are made. Oof.
That's all right. I'm a chef by trade. So, oh, people are weighing in. It's pretty cool.
But we do have a TikTok account. I put it on the TikTok account. But
oh, we do?
It's only like 3 minutes on the TikTok account. That's they only fine. Allow 3 minutes. So we put it all over the place.
That's cool. I don't know where they're going this morning. What is open? I'll tell you what, we will get a real education on what the hell is open this time of morning in town. You know, that's pretty cool. People love these Georgia Hots, Harry. People weighing in about Georgia Hots.
Hey, listen, the Georgia Hots are the best.
Although I can't eat them a lot because they're too hot. They're too spicy. I don't like spicy like that. But every now and again, Harry, I want a Georgia Hot. Every now and again.
I'm telling you, you have to get it. The way I get it is sauerkraut, ketchup, and New York onions on top. Oh, my God. Or your God, whoever. Who's ever God.
Okay.
No, but it's delicious. Go and try it. And he is. He will have a conversation with you, you know, while he's making your dog or your Georgia Hot.
There you go.
And like I said, he'll throw it on the grill. If you don't want it boiled, he'll throw it on the grill. But of course, you got to wait.
That's such a, you know what? This is such a good, we got to do such good work for the tourism of this town. You know what? We should run up on Mike Moran too. He's another one that's a good guy for this city. Like, he knows all the ins and outs of places. You ever see his pictures and he posts his pictures? And I'm like, I text him, I'm like, where the hell is that? I was like, he's like, in New Heaven. Where the hell is that picture, Mike Moran?
Yeah, sorry. I mean, they can get ideas. They can call the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
What time do package stores open?
Oh, don't they stay open?
No, it's not Vegas.
I have no idea.
I think package stores, they close it anywhere between 7 and 10 o'clock at night. But what time do they open?
I don't know.
What I want to know. What time does a package store, how early can you go buy tequila?
I mean, I know they were an essential business.
Oh, listen, listen, listen. I couldn't have gotten through. Oh, Eve said package stores open at 8. 8 o'clock?
Well, I guess that makes sense. You could go buy your whatever, your brown liquor, and then go grab a hot dog right down the street.
We in upside down times.
Right? Because I figure that guy's stationed out there at 8 o'clock in the morning because court starts at 9.
Harry, if you eating a hot dog at 8 o'clock in the morning, who are you?
Hey, you coming off the night shift, going to pay your ticket? I guess. I mean, I don't know.
So every few times we do word on the street, we have a story to back it up, which is good. Because for me, this is really at the heart of what our community is. These are the kinds of things that people want to know, right? Like, unless, you know, we show up to a Board of Alder meeting and there's a fight, but that only happens in like foreign countries. We don't really get down like that.
That's not true. That you could be challenged to a duel.
Well, yeah. Bowen Field. Liquor stores open at 8. Wine shops open at 11. I got to get somebody on to talk about that distinction. We're gonna send the babies to a liquor store.
Go figure that one out.
I don't want to shame. It's not about shaming nobody. I just want to hear how much money they make at 8 o'clock in the morning. How much money can you make at a liquor store at 8 o'clock in the morning? I don't know,
but I mean, if you're in front of a liquor store on a Friday, it's an amazing amount of business. You know,
listen, you go up in the hood stores, that's a lot of business.
Yeah.
And they stay there all day. And I'm like, man, how do you?
It's crazy. It's the same thing. I never understand because I'm thinking to myself, people go in, they come out with 3 kegs and stuff like that. And it's like, how much money do you make that you spend all of it on? Or same thing when I'm standing behind somebody at a grocery store and they're buying $100 worth of lottery tickets.
Well, that, you know what, that might be a pool. You know what I mean? Like how people have a pool. Because I was behind somebody the other day, Harry. They spent $300. Yes, I didn't have the courage to. And I'm a very courageous person, but I didn't have the courage to ask, "Sir, are you really spending?" And then I had to remember back in the day when I worked in an office with a lot of people. We used to, you know, you get in the lottery pool, you know, and it would be like $10 minimum to get in. And this would go on, and there'd be like 3 or 4 of these things going on.
It's I don't know. But there'd be a lot, but I don't think it's everybody's in a pool.
If I win, I don't want to win with people.
There'd be a lot of people lining up for lottery tickets, and it's like they must be spending.
And here's the thing, the people who win, Harry, never know what to do with the money. This is the part that I understand about lottery players. You have no sense of what you want to do. If you win, you think you're just going to do it on the fly? I got a whole plan.
You know what? Karen has a whole plan, too.
I have a whole plan, Harry.
I just plan to take a little portion and create an island. I'm not going to go on an island. That's too far for me to go on an island. To create an island wherever I decide that nobody can get to me. But
man. Okay.
No, Karen was going to be some crazy.
Oh, I know what to do, Harry. Let me tell you something. I won't announce it. I set up some trust and some other things so that I can move about, because I don't want to own Jack. So I set up trust, take care of my kids, take care of my family, take care of my friends, build me a house somewhere where I know people won't come. Like, Africa.
You're sounding like Elon Musk. He sold his last house. He has no real possessions anymore.
They're all in trust, Harry.
He lives in he sold them all, right? And he lives in a $50,000 container home.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be like Elon Musk. I did not mention container home in any of my...
I know.
No.
It's a Tesla home. I shouldn't say container. It's a Tesla.
Nope.
It's a prototype he's living in.
Because I need a compound.
You need a compound. He doesn't want that.
I need a compound. You know why? Because I'm a black woman in America and relatives will come out of the woodwork. So I need a fence, a gate, gate people, a moat.
Gate people.
A moat filled with piranhas and other flesh-eating fish. I need all the things. And good-ass Wi-Fi. That's all I need.
And really good Wi-Fi.
Really, really. And backup generators. Backup generators to back up the backup generators. Seriously. Yeah. That's what I need. I already know how I want to do this thing, Harry.
Your outer layer has to match your inner layer because you're going to have some type of bunker in the bottom that goes for days. Right? Your bunker has to be a little paradise just in case. You gotta get those people who do the tunnels on the border to do your bunker. You ever seen some of those tunnels in the border? It's amazing how they create these tunnels and they don't cave in. It's like there has to be some type of structural engineer who goes inside with them to create these tunnels.
It's Harry, like, people have been people have been making tunnels for centuries.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane. It's insane. But yeah, hopefully, Babs, you win. Hopefully you win.
I just want to win. I know what to do. I know what to do. I know what to do. I know what to do.
Just know if I win, I got you. So
if I win, I got you too. I know you don't want an island, but I give you a good piece of land somewhere up in the mountains or some old thing.
That's all. Not in California.
You want Florida, Harry? Let me know if you want Florida.
I don't want Jurassic Park either.
Where are you going to go? You want warm weather. You don't want winter. You don't mind winter so much as long as you don't got to be in it.
Yeah, Karen loves winter, so I don't know.
Tell Paul we get a new station. You know what, Paul? We need a new station. Let's move. Let's move the station. Like when they finish the Dixwell Corridor, Paul, let's move.
You just made Norma slam her brakes.
I know. Wait, what time is it? She ain't listening now. She already in the office. Norma can move too. Like, Norma, you want to move? Come on. It's time for Lovos and Live from Costa Rica. My sister said the best tunnels are done by the cartels.
Yeah.
Who knew? Who knew there was a bunch of structural engineers in the cartels?
Have to. You know that everybody has the cartel or the mafia or whatever you want to call these organized crime, I should say. Organized crime has some of the best people. You know, they hire the best.
All right. Listen, I don't mind the Russians and I don't mind the Chinese coming for us. I don't want no parts of the organized crime world. So let's stop talking about this.
No, that's what I'm saying, that they hire the best.
I know. That's what I mean, Harry. I don't need nobody into my backseat with a piano cord. I don't need it. I don't want it.
Well, I just want to say I'm not on the market. So don't drop me a line and say, you're pretty good at what you do. No.
Let me make you an offer. You can't.
I know. No, please. Please don't finish that.
I mean, you know what, Harry? And if you go, if you get caught, you go to court. He's like, listen, I don't know anybody in that jury box who would not have, who would have said no to these people. They're talking about killing my whole family for generations. I'm a, if they want me to take a little package from here to there, I'm going to do it because I don't need the drama. Hey. That's what I want to, I want somebody to say that to these jury people, Harry. You would have made the same damn choice.
You look at them and you say, you better make the right choice now.
You know, I was reading it. I was reading a New York Times piece on, remember Alpo?
Yeah.
And he, you know, the big drug dealer in Harlem. And, you know, he got in the witness protection program because he flipped on all his boys from back in the day. And he was up in New Hampshire, Maine, somewhere, Harry, with a new identity, apartment, a job, all the things. But he kept running his ass back and forth to Harlem because he was, you know, he was missing it. I think when you get a chance like that, you got to turn your back on your previous life. You can't ever go back to Harlem. You better get a good ass photo album and flip through. You can't go back. So he started going back and that started to violate the terms of the witness protection program. And then he ultimately got kicked out of it. And he started back, you know, trying to redeem himself in the eyes of Harlem people, which didn't happen because he's, you know, he's an asshole. So, and then I guess trying to get back in the drug game on some level, you know, and then somebody just took. So the article was about Harry, all the witnesses and all the people who had real beef that wanted him dead. There was like, there's too many suspects. Wait, Harry, the detective said, it's too many suspects.
Yeah, it's hard to resolve that one.
But the way he said it, Harry, just cracked me up. He's like, too many suspects. And he was like, legitimate suspects. I was like, how do you do that? They were like 500 people, Harry. It was like 500-600 people who could have easily just made that hit on him. I was like, damn. You know, I would have stayed my ass in Maine or New Hampshire or wherever the hell it was. I would have just been like, you know what? I would have wrote a memoir or whatever. And it would have been done. I don't understand these people.
No, I mean, if you remember the snitch, John Gotti, the guy who snitched on him, Sammy the Bull.
Yeah.
He got a sweet deal and everything too. He got to go into witness protection and sure enough, he got arrested doing other stuff.
Yeah.
He got arrested doing mob.
I think they'd be, and you know, here's the thing, Harry, I was reading a piece. This is just the statistics on witness protection is 100%. Well, now since Alpo was like probably 99 now, but when people that go into witness protection tend to live out their lives and fine and whatever, they don't look back. It's always that one or two people who can't get it together.
Yeah, you can't get right.
Can't get right.
Let's
Is it time for Word on the Street?
It's
where time. The babies at today.
It's time. Let's do this. Let's do a little.
Listen, we world class up in here. We got a whole look. I love it, Harry. Although we gotta get some hood stuff. Hey, good morning, Laura. Who is it this morning? Uh-oh, wait, where they at?
Hey guys, this is Laura and Coral. It on the side of the camera, and we're with Rosanna and Marisol from Nika's Market.
Hey, where is it? Where's Nika's Market on Whitney Avenue?
Is it on Whitney?
It's on Orange Street.
Oh, Orange Street. Same thing. Good morning. All right, talk to them. What time do they open?
What time do you guys open?
7 o'clock.
7.
Yeah.
And you want to tell us what the word on the street is?
Depression. Anxiety.
Depression?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I feel like we've all been feeling that. I don't know, like, I guess, is that a pandemic thing for you or something that's been, you know, exacerbated?
I think it's always been my issue.
She went from pandemic depression to
maybe a vacation would be okay.
You guys want a vacation? What are your thoughts on I think I need a vacation too. I think everyone's in need of vacation right now.
Yeah. What's like a perfect place to go for
Well, where can you go where there's no COVID?
With water. Yeah, that sounds good. Margaritas. I like margaritas.
We thought that was your question.
Margarita. So where would they go? I mean, everywhere is COVID right now. So
where would you go with COVID and being everywhere?
I'm fine just staying at home. I'm not afraid of COVID.
She's all over the place.
I believe in disinfecting from the inside out. The more alcohol you drink, the better chance you have at continuing to put on yourself the interior. So, anyway, as long as you're talking.
You know what?
That's the best I've heard in a long time. I believe disinfecting from the inside out.
I know you can't tell, but
I'm gonna use that disinfecting from the inside out. And I don't mean bleach.
I know, right? That sounded like bleach.
No, I didn't, honestly.
So Italy's probably the best option. You can start drinking at any age.
So would you go to Italy?
I actually grew up there, but yes.
Oh my gosh. Where did you grow up in Italy?
Near about 2 hours south of Rome, inland from the coast, Naples area.
And when did you come to the U.S.?
I was 14.
What was that like to transition countries at 14?
Well, I was born here and my parents went back. It was fun. It was interesting. No English. It was culture shock. What I absolutely lost to the U.S. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back there. To live there. It's just too slow. I'm very hyper.
But we'll bring back some of the food at least and the coffee.
How long have they been at Nico's?
How long have you guys been working here?
I'm
one of the owners and we've been here 19 years last November. So this is going to be our 20th year in November. Big anniversary coming up.
Wow. Yep.
Nico's actually my daughter.
Really? Oh, that's so cute. How old's your
I'm
daughter?
Not the daughter. I'm the work daughter, but I'm not the actual
daughter. She's my work daughter. She's 21.
Really?
Yeah, I got her at like 10. I'm just kidding.
How long have you guys known each other?
I've been working here. I'm going on 8 years in August this year. So I've been here for quite a bit. So I've known her just about that time. It's a family-owned business, so we've all gotten like really tight, like really close with one another.
Is it a good place to work?
Is it a good place to work?
Yeah, definitely, of course. Most of the staff that we actually have here have been here well over around that time, so people usually do stick around here.
She's not even good for a race, so she's being.
So ask them what does their shift look like? Like when they start the day, what time do they show up, and then what does the day look like for them? What's the busy time? So what do you start doing?
So in terms of business, like what time do you show up, and then what does it look like day to day? Like just general, the routine.
Well, we come in at 6:30 in the morning, so we can do our prep before everybody shows up, and then close at 7. So then we call our cleanup. So we're probably here an extra 45 minutes after that. About 20 something employees, and everybody has their tasks, and we're always busy.
Yeah, busy place for it being like, I think like a little small store. You'd be surprised how much like people actually love coming here. Even just people that like walk by, people that have been here for the first time. You know, usually just very busy all the time, just trying to get things kind of like going and together for everyone. And
it's quieter now. This is our quiet month because, you know, the students are gone and everything's being so cautious. So we get to have fun with the customers.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And
it's usually like some of like the more like intimate times. We'll see more of like our regulars coming in. It's always been like that, even like before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Usually just right after the holidays, it's just kind of quiet.
Yeah.
We don't mind. We get a little break after the holiday craziness.
Busy for the holidays. It's always a blessing, of course, but it's nice to have like a little breather for like a second.
Right. Are there any like crazy stories from your time working here?
How much time you got?
I'm not sure we can hear all of them. Oh, hold on. She's
So it's a market and a restaurant, or like how do y'all define yourselves?
It's a gourmet market and deli and prepared foods and catering. So we have meat department, cheese department, hot foods, pizza,
pastries,
bakery. Wow. We bake our own bread. We do a ton of.
I didn't know they had that much going on.
Yeah. All our food is made out of bed. We have a huge hot case.
And you guys were essential during the pandemic, right?
Harry's asking if you guys were essential during the pandemic, like
essential. We were here. Yes, yeah. We stayed open. We retained all our staff. We were considered essential workers.
I was very fortunate in that part, I feel, just because job here was being in charge of catering or helping with catering. Mm-hmm. So once that kind of like dropped, I was like, dang, what am I going to do now? But, you know, they kept me on. They gave me more things to do, if anything. You know, helping with the girls up front, just helping around the store, helping with anything like that. Like, I'll do anything that they need me to do. So I was lucky enough to still be able to help. Yeah. Let's clarify that. So I was lucky enough to be able to still work the entire time.
Yeah. How has the pandemic been for you guys?
We've had to reconfigure how to do business in the last couple of years. Everyone has to
Did they get into the delivery game?
Harry's asking if you got into delivery.
Our deliveries went down. Yes, yeah. Our catering department used a lot. We do a lot of CEO.
We stopped ordering.
We did curbside pickup too.
We did a ton of
that
curbside, was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shopping for personal shopping for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it one of
her new jobs that she got?
Would that go up? Did the curbside go up a lot?
Oh yeah. It was like every day I got like sheets and sheets of 10 groceries. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that you think will like be a permanent change from the pandemic?
I mean, I guess the only thing is I actually like how we package like some of our pastries.
Yeah,
now,
some of our pastries. Yeah,
customers kind of like pick them. We like package them. It's been
some items I think might stick.
Do they have a mask mandate?
Do you guys have a mask mandate in here?
We do.
They were wearing masks.
We do. But we are 6 feet away from the girls. Technically. 5 and a half.
Can people find Italian inspired things in there? Can people find Italian products?
Can people get Italian products, like Italian inspired things in here?
Our prepared food is predominantly Italian. Because my mom, she's designed in the kitchen and everything. But we have a ton of international products on our shelves, not just Italian. Just because our client base is so diverse, we try to cater to as many ethnicities and nationalities and tastes and dietary restrictions as possible.
For sure. I think like one of the things customers seem to always be like, one of the things people are always impressed with the most, I feel, would be the cheese selection, because we have imported cheeses from everywhere. And people here, and I feel like especially, charcuterie boards became like a big thing. So we were going through cheese, even now, still like crazy. But that was like one thing people always pointed out was like, you guys got a lot of different cheese like everywhere. So that was always really cool.
What do you think is the most like underrated thing that you sell?
Our pizza. I think people don't know that we do pizza as well.
I did not know they did pizza.
We sell a lot of slices, but I don't think they realize that we do like whole pizzas, and you know we're very competitive in pricing and we make everything here our dough, our sauce. So it's really, I think it's really good. We've been featured in a bunch of magazines.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people didn't know about like that we have Sicilian pizza as well. Not just like regular crust pizza, things like that, but our Sicilian pizza is like and they're huge. Like, I could have one for lunch, and I like to eat curly. And like one slice is like good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're almost like the same size. They are the same size. They're pretty big.
Really?
Yeah.
Bob and Harry, do you guys have any other questions?
No, I did not know they had pizza. That is news to me. Because, you know, New Haven is a big pizza war city, right? Like,
yeah.
Didn't know
now
you
got
had
to throw
pizza.
Nika's in there.
Yeah, and we were featured in a magazine. There's an article right there on our board that actually said that in Bay New Haven, famous for pizza town, we actually made the article.
Wow.
And it was surprisingly so, they said, because they wouldn't have guessed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
kind of
cool.
I think that's why I mentioned it.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Oh, so one last question for me. So can vegans come in there and eat and shop? What do you got for the vegans?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Tons of options.
Yes.
And absolutely. We modify our food too to make mm-hmm. it vegan. If something's vegetarian, we can modify it to make it vegan. We gluten free. We have tons of options.
Cool, that's good to know. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing what the word on the street is today.
Well, you know what? You know what? Give them a chance to do their little commercial there. You know, give the audience the information you want them to know.
Oh, he said your chance to do a commercial for the news. So tell the audience whatever you want them to hear.
Oh, man.
A little promo.
Oh, yeah. Talk about putting us up. Wow. I mean, honestly, I think our customer service and the way we love our the people that come in is probably the best experience. And then the products speak for themselves. I think that when you come in, it's not just a shopping. Like, you don't just come and grab stuff. I mean, we know people by name. They know us.
But we're really a family. Yeah. Like, we're super
with
connected
the
to the community.
So, right. Yeah, I we do a ton of stuff with the community, tons of donations, you know.
But, and we're always, you know, especially, you know, with the girls up front, people in the back, like, we're always just here to kind of make everyone's day and have a good time.
I feel like
whether you're starting the day, ending the day, whatever.
Going back to my favorite theme, which is drinking. I'm just kidding. We are kind of like the daytime bartenders where people come in and you're not just ordering something. We're sharing stories. We're showing pictures of
some laughs,
our dogs or our kids. Yeah. So I think that's really
truly a family affair.
Yes, what stands out for us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for letting us barge in on your on your space. I'm coming over there and I'm gonna start shopping. I love it over there, so I'm gonna start coming over there. So listen, I'm gonna shout you out when I come
oh,
over.
God.
Okay. Well, thank you thank so you. Much for having us on, Bob and Harry.
Thanks. All right, so you two reporters, turn to the camera and say who you are and say, you know what? This was word on the street this morning.
Yep.
Give it to us. Give it to us.
Okay, so this is Coral and Laura. And word on the street was Nika's has great pizza that more people should know about. Yeah, and you know, life is hard, but go to Nika's for a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Thank y'all. So I love that morning bartender stuff. That was great. Thank y'all so much.
Bye.
I can't wait to see what y'all do next. I'm coming to Nika's. I'm ready. Oh, Harry, that was fun. The word on the street. That's pretty good. Thank you.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And hey, they're competitive with their pizza. They're throwing their name out there, right? They're saying, hey, we're part of this pizza game too. You know, and it's a bold statement. Hey.
Yes. I was like, I'm going to throw their name. I was like, I think that should be the thing. Did y'all know Nika's had pizza and it got noted in a magazine that they had good ass pizza? I like that. Thank you to them for doing that this morning. I was wondering where we were going to end up this morning, Harry.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure. I was like, okay.
You know, they sent me a text yesterday when I was driving home that they were thinking of doing the pet park, the dog park. And I was like,
all right.
Whatever, but they ended up there. That's good.
I like it. The word on the street this morning is Nika's on Orange Street. That's pretty cool.
You know, I've driven by there plenty of times, never went in.
I've been in there. I've bought stuff out of there. You know, it is fast paced, Harry. And you know what it makes you feel like? It gives you a New York vibe. It does give you, when you walk in there, you have a New York vibe of those markets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. So,
hey.
Not bad. Not bad.
And that was word on the street on Love Babs Love Talk.
Nika's. Who knew they had pizza?
WNHHLP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio. Babs, you want to take
We're going to take a break. You know why? Because we got Kim Weston at 10:15. The founder of Wabi Gallery. And if you don't know Kim Weston, she's a noted and awarded photographer. And she is Black and Indigenous. And so she's opening a gallery on Court Street that's Indigenous inspired for art and creativity and young people. So she's going to come on and talk about that a little bit at 10:15.
You know, you probably should reach out to her because she's no longer in the room.
I don't know. She did. She sent me a message. She's like, she was like, oh, I was early.
All right. So we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Listen, Love Babs Love Talk. We're not the new thing. I'm loving that segment.
I am too, Harry. That's fun.
Bye. c'è buona news. Ho usato colore, o colore, colore. Sangue la basa, le bambe, un basso, buona e mazzo, un zingo. Uggiando mi, so was born.
Oh,
morning. Good morning, beautiful people. I'm Babs Rose Ivy. Welcome to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. Thank you all for hanging out for the last 20 minutes for Word on the Street. That was so much fun. The word on the street today, word is Nico's on Orange Street. But right now I'm talking to my girlfriend, my sister friend, my photography teacher, Kim Weston, noted award-winning photographer, artist, and new founder of Wabi Gallery. Welcome, girl. Welcome.
Hey, Babs. How you doing this morning?
Good morning. You look amazing.
Thank you. So do you, Miss Fabulous.
Oh, girl, please. But how you doing? How are the babies?
Because you got like the babies are
you good. Like me. You got like a bunch of children.
Yeah, I have my own tribe. It started with one and now there's six.
Well, you know, it's like potato chips. You can never have just one.
That's so true.
Ooh, so how are you? What's new? I know what's new, but what's new with you right now? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really, really good. I'm feeling really happy about what's going on with Wabi, the people that I'm meeting. Things are just falling in place.
That's good.
You know,
that's
they're just falling. Yeah, they're falling in place.
So tell us all about Wabi Gallery. I know people have been paying attention. People can go to Wabi Gallery site and check it out. But you are a noted photographer. You are a teacher. You are all these things. And then you woke up one day and said, you know what? It's time for me to have my own damn gallery. And then tell us about the name behind it and your roots for it.
Right. So I decided to name the gallery Wabi, which means sea in Algonquin. It's the language that was spoken by a lot of the native tribes that were from this area in New Haven. The Quinnipiac people that were here, they spoke the language. And so part of my ancestry is Native. My family is Mohawk and also Cherokee. And I didn't want to bring in my tribe and name the gallery after my tribe. I wanted to pay honor to the tribe that was here. And sea is such a strong word, and it's a powerful thing. And photography is all about seeing. Being able to see the things that you can see and the things that you can't see, right? The camera shows you those things that you're not paying attention to and the things that you are paying attention to.
Ooh, that's so powerful.
Art is one of those things too, right? So sometimes we're educated in what we see, and those that are not educated discover things that they never saw before. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to open up a gallery that allow people to be able to see those things and to be able to identify themselves. A lot of New Haven has lots of beautiful arts organizations here, but a lot of people don't feel comfortable walking into some of them. So I wanted to create a space that people from the community can feel like they can walk in and feel like this is a comfortable space that they can get. They can talk about how they feel in the community, but they can also experience art. But one of the biggest things that I wanted to do was to teach sustainability, how to be able to make a living off of the arts and not buy into, well, I'm an artist and I'm poor and I'm broke and I'm starving.
Or I'm an artist and I got to work 20 jobs to support my art.
Right, right.
Yes. I was just having that same conversation with Dan the other day.
Really?
Maurice of the Arts Council. I said, you know, we never ask doctors to moonlight or take a second job to be doctors, right? We pay them so that they can do this work fully. So that's we should right. pay artists so that they can do this work fully and not have to become other things to support it.
Right,
so,
right.
Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
Right. So how many of us graduate from, we do buy into the system and we go to art school? Mm-hmm. And then we go and we get our master's and we graduate.
Is that what you did?
That's what I did. I followed the system. And I found myself not being able to find a job. So I went and tried to work for other photographers and they wouldn't hire me. So this one photographer, when I was living in New York City, he shot for Essence Magazine. And he said, well, they're not going to hire you, Kim, because you're just as good as they are. I was 22 years old. And he said, they're not going to hire you. You're a little thing at the time. Now I'm not so little, but I'm voluptuous now. And he said, they're not going to hire you. And he said, act like it's do me a favor. Act like it's a project that you have in school. And give it a week. Decide what you want to shoot. If you want to work for the music industry, make a portfolio that looks like the music industry. If you want to work for Essence or you want to work for Vogue, then make a portfolio that looks like that. And then start going and shopping it to those particular places. So I decided I wanted to work for the music industry because I love music. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. And I started getting work with Sony and Epic and, you know, just the list went on. I photographed Mary J. Blige and Biggie Smalls and you name it. I shot those people in the industry during that time, during the early 90s.
I did not know that part about you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't know that part.
Yeah. I was running the streets, girl, with my camera.
I was right behind you. Yeah. Or in front of you. I was in front of you, really. I'm older than you, so I was running in front of you. All right, so you do that. You shoot all the fabulous, beautiful people. And then what happens?
But I stay away from art because I go to school and I go out and I pursue the commercial world. I stayed away from art. And I remember going to Lorna Simpson and feeling like, I don't know how to write an artist statement. How do you go to art school and not know how to write an artist statement? How do you leave not knowing how to write an artist statement?
Because they're not preparing you for that.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Right? And so you go, so later on, I had brain surgery about 8 years ago. And I decided I was going to go back to school. And after having kids, decide I'm going to go back and become an artist. That's it. I then worked and painted and had all kind of careers in the arts, from commercial art, commercial photography, to web design, to graphic design, anything creative that I could do, but not fine art. And I realized that life is short. And so I went back to school to get my master's in New York City. And at BARD, ICP BARD, the International Center of Photography. Mm-hmm. And I commuted and I stayed at my mom's house in Queens. And I lived back and forth between New York and Connecticut. And I enjoyed my time there. I learned a lot. I studied under some great people. Nalen Blake was the chair of the program at the time. I met some amazing people. And what I got from the program was there was no one that they could refer me to in terms of my native culture, because I was interested in my native work, the work that I was doing. And how do I talk about the intersection of how Black culture and native culture come together? How many times have you heard Black people say, oh, I have some native blood in me, mm-hmm. and or I have some native ancestry? Well, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about that in my work and show that in my work, but they couldn't refer me to any native artists. They couldn't refer, they didn't show Black artists or artists of color. And so I got really angry. And one photographer came in and said, don't get angry. Look at it as an opportunity for you to input that information. And so I've been on a mission since then to say, hey, there's lots of people of color that are out here doing incredible work, mm-hmm. that need to be put into these educational programs. And so that's what I do. I teach young people about these artists like LaToya Ruby Frazier or June Lee, right? Dawu Bey, Lorna Simpson, Carrie Mae Weems. They're just amazing photographers, right? And so that's my job. But I also want to teach them, how do you go about making money? How do you go about sustaining yourself? And so the gallery for me is a place where artists can show their work, right? They can get the recognition that they deserve and for the work that they get, they do, but also get the skills that they need to be on the level of a LaToya Ruby Frazier or a June Lee who has gotten a Guggenheim Fellowship and award, right? And who has made many, many community efforts, who's coming on my team to be a part of Wabi Gallery, who wants to meet you, Babs, and sit on your porch, by the way. And so, you know, I want to bring artists like that into the gallery to turn around and look at the young people and say, hey, I'm going to bring you up. You know, I'm going to bring you up with me. I'm going to help you get ahead. And a lot of people, a lot of organizations are not necessarily doing that work. They're not teaching sustainability. They might be opening up the pathway for young people to go to certain galleries or certain institutions, but they're not necessarily teaching them what to do if that path mm-hmm. is not for them.
Would people get this, the way, would, I mean, it sounds like what I used to hear with folks who were trying to get a record deal. You got to learn the business. It's not enough that you can sing, right, you know, or play an instrument. You got to know the business because you want to be able to do this for your life. And it sounds like that's the same kind of thing. And you've learned it through trial and error. Like,
right,
I want to be, I spend a lot of time doing the commercial stuff because that stuff paid the bills.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
But, right, you know, you learn by trial and error, you know, how do I take care of my taxes? How do I make an artist statement? How do I peddle my work? How do I do that? How do I get in these spaces? And so you learned it by doing it. No one, there was no place you could go to learn specifically those skill sets.
Right. It wasn't until I went into the MFA program that I started getting the information, but it was bits and pieces. So why am I paying $70,000? To get that information, mm-hmm. right? Like, I shouldn't have to pay that kind of money to have that information available to me. That information should have been given to me in my undergrad. That information should be just available, right? It should be available at high school, that you should have a artist statement and a bio ready for you with your work. It should be available. It should be a known thing, but it's not, because that goes against the system, right? Because if you have that information, then why do I need you? Why do I need the institution? So what I'm talking about is going against the grain of those institutions, right? In many ways. I'm not saying that those institutions are not needed, because I believe in those institutions. But for those that don't want to follow that path and that are self-taught, there's another path. There's another way. And so, in that way, there are things that you can do to get yourself to that place where you can sustain yourself as an artist.
Mm-hmm. And so, as you are creating and building out this gallery, talk a little bit about some of the things you want to see happen in it.
Well, I want to do a shared space. I want it to be a friendly space. I want people to come in from the community, and if they want to talk about what's happening.
Because oftentimes, Kim, when you go into galleries, people treat them like libraries, right? Like they get nervous, they get quiet, and, you know, there's no talking and everybody's shh, and moving about. And
no, I don't want that. No, that's not what I want. I don't want that model. I want the model of you come in, you can sit down, you can open up some of the books that'll be available there. There'll be a work share space that's there, that if you're a small business and you want a desk or something that you want to rent for the month, you can have your mail come there. You can run a small business out of there. You'll be accessible to the young people in the community that are working, coming in and out. So those young people can turn around to that person that's at that desk and say, are you having a problem with that program? Let me help you. Or if that young person is there writing something you know, maybe Ife will get a desk with me, right? And from from Lit Fest, and she can come over and show this young person how to write an artist statement, right? I want it to be a community space, mm-hmm, where everyone is helping everyone. That's the way we learn, right? That's the old way of what used to happen in the community. And so I want this space to be a professional gallery, but I also want it to be a community space where we learn from each other, mm-hmm, right? And we go out into the community. And if you need food, that we have a curated installation that says you can come in and you can take some canned goods and make it look good like an art installation. And you can take food home with you because that's what you need, you know? And Zoom and June Lee wants to do something creative like that in the community, where if you need a coat or if you need masks for your children, that you can come and have access to that. You know, these are the type of things that we want to do with this gallery, you know, and it be a space that we can talk about, you know, how some of the organizations in New Haven are building buildings and taking some of the low income housing away, and the prices are skyrocketing. Well, high developers are coming in and fixing up communities that need supermarkets, but at the same time, the taxes are going through the roof and people are being pushed out of their community, right? So how do we battle that? How do we bring in support for the community? And how do we bring in their needs without telling them what they need versus asking them what they need, right? There's a big difference between, let me tell you what you need, poor person. Right?
That is very, very true.
Right?
Yes.
I had that.
Go ahead.
So I had that block cheese. Did you have block cheese when you were younger at some point?
Girl, I had powdered milk.
Good macaroni and cheese.
Powdered milk and those white boxes with just names across, you know, the no frills kind of stuff. I remember that stuff.
Right. So it was really important, you know, as I got older to go back. I was working at an arts institution in New York City, and I was teaching a photography class, and they said the class is not going to continue, Kim, because we don't have enough students. I took my black behind across the road to 8th Avenue, to Drew Hamilton Projects. And I started knocking on doors and handing out little flyers and asking if people had some teenagers in the house that wanted to take a photography class. That's community work, right? That's how you go get kids, right? And if you can't get them from the public school, you just go knock on the door. That's what I want to do, you know? And I want to do it better than that. But I would like for my community to know who I am.
What's better than that? There's nothing better than that. I think I like that idea. I'll come knock right along with you.
Right. Right.
So tell me about the location, because I think this is pretty important about where you are housing this gallery, Wabi Gallery.
So I'm housing Wabi Gallery at 124 or 126 Court Street, downtown New Haven.
Which is a cute little street.
Yes, it's between Orange and State Street, mm-hmm, little street. So it's a couple of steps from the New Haven Metro North, right? Like 394 steps. It's like, because I'm working on a business plan, so I have to have all this information. And it's 0.0 miles from the green. So it's just a couple of blocks, the half a block from the green.
And down the street from the cupcake store, Edible Couture.
Yes.
Have you been in there? That's a wonderful bad place.
No, I have not.
Every day.
No, I have not. Yeah. So it's just, it's in a great location in terms of access. And so I wanted it to be a place where everyone can have access to it, you know, and
it's downtown.
It's downtown.
And that's a nice, I love, because everything, all the buses go downtown, everything goes downtown, and you can just walk over and be right there in the mix.
Right, right.
You know, and if you're from other parts, you can get off the train
or
the bus and be right there in the mix.
And come see some New Haven artists and some artists from around the New Haven area and from New York or Boston who are sharing the space with local artists here, and get off that train and come into Wabi Gallery and check out some fresh art.
Yes, absolutely. So you sit on the board of Art Space.
Yes.
You know, which is headed up by Lisa Dent.
Love Lisa.
The fabulous Lisa Dent. Does that help or hurt you to be so connected and rooted in this arts community?
It helps me. I think it helps me a lot. I've learned a lot from being on the board over these years. And I think they've learned a lot from me as well. You know, I've been able to give, especially now that Helen is no longer, Clowder is no longer on the as the ED there. Lisa is not from New Haven, so she's needed some support in terms of like the dynamics of where things are in New Haven. And I've been able to lend my voice to her. And, you know, I think it's a good relationship. And she's had a lot of support from the community come behind her and say, hey, we're here for you. She's done a great job in terms of what's happening with Art Space. But I think with my knowledge of being an artist, being a person from New Haven, 20 years a resident in New Haven, I think I have a good handle on what's happening there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. You're busy. Busy.
Busy, so busy.
You know, when you're in demand.
Yeah. So I think it helps.
So do you have conversations with other artists? Because New Haven is very artist rich, I find.
Yes.
You know, and not just white artists, but Black artists, Latino artists. Like, it's very, very artist rich. Do you have conversations with them? What have they said about your efforts?
Everyone has been so supportive. They, when they see me, they give me hugs. I heard what you're doing, Kim. Congratulations. They just get, sis, they give me these big hugs and they're so excited for me. Lisa Dent is so excited for me. I mean, just Westfield is so excited for me.
Because Westfield has a nice artist collective up there. Like, yeah. They've spent a lot of under the lot of studio folks, you know, Mistina and Dulio and Kate Stevens and all those folks up there. Sepulveda, right? Sepulveda, mm-hmm. David, Simi. You know, they've got a nice, tight artist collective up there that I've not seen replicated too many other places.
No. Erector Square. I was at Erector Square.
Erector Square. Yes. That's another pocket of artists.
Yes. Erector Square doesn't have the same kind of love that Westfield has. I'm jealous because I was at Erector Square for about 5 years.
Oh, that's right. That's how when they had open studios, I came to your studio.
Yes. Yeah.
Y'all had like little good food out.
And wine.
Oh, yes.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And Mistina and Luke just really have just done their thing over there, bringing all those artists together. And the artists are just like, No Way is an artist that I have brought on to be a part of the gallery. He's on the board of River there, so am I. and I've asked him to come on, and his work is different. He's a painter, but his work is simple and yet intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to have local artists be a part of the gallery. And in me doing that, he turned around. I asked him to be a part of the gallery, and he turned around and said, "Hey, Kim, do you want to be in this show that's happening in Bridgeport?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Yeah, we have to keep supporting each other." And so I think as long as I'm an artist, I'm going to always support other artists in New Haven. Mm-hmm. And New Haven artists have always supported me, you know, and I'm going to continue to support Art Space, just like I'm going to continue to support Creative Arts Workshop and Arts Council and any of the other arts organizations here. I don't think we should be separate. I think we should all work together.
Absolutely. You know? So how do you find time to do your work, you know, to work on your art? Because this is a lot, you know, opening a gallery, working with architects, doing the thing, raising money. That's a lot. How do you find time to like do what God called you to do, which is a lot of things? But I mean, I've seen your work. I saw it up at the library this past fall.
Yes.
Beautiful indigenous photographs in ways that I've never seen indigenous folks captured. Beautiful, stunning. And you have a technique where the work is on glass or metal.
On
beautiful.
Metal.
On yes. metal. So how do you find the time to do your work?
Well, because of the pandemic, I haven't really been out to shoot much, right? And this past summer, I didn't go out much to shoot, but I have been creative. I've been creating more sculptures and multimedia pieces and looking back into my archive and coming up with pieces. I have a new installation that's going up at Arts Council because I was awarded the land acknowledgement grant that they had. So I'm going to have a permanent installation there. This spring, we should have something up.
I know, I can't wait.
Yeah. So in terms of me working, I created a piece the other day here at home. My wife wanted me to create a hanging piece, and she's in love with this artist, Natalie Ball, who I hope will join the gallery, who was at Yale, a Native American artist. And she's like, "You need to get me a piece from Natalie Ball by any means necessary." and I said, I'll work on it and see if I can do a barter with her. And so maybe one day that will come true. But meanwhile, she wants this space filled in our house. And so I took a blanket and I'm taking some deer hide and I'm taking her. My wife is Seminole. And so the Seminole tribe is from Florida and they do a lot of patchwork. And so I took some patchwork from a skirt that she had and laid it over the deer hide and laid it over the blanket. And then I'm going to take some horsehair tail and braid it and throw that in and then do wow. something else.
I hope you film this. This is like a masterclass. Like, I just want to see you do it.
Yeah. And so we were like playing around with it. And I was like, "I like that. And I like this." And, you know, and we did something really quick and it's not done yet, but, and the kids were running around and somebody was asking me to download, what's the name of that game? Fortnite. And I couldn't figure out how to download Fortnite and they were interrupting me. And I was like, "Hey, I'm trying to create some artwork. Leave me alone."
Listen, that's the real talk of a working mother who is an artist, got to, you know, at home. Cause I know you got space at home to work, to do your work, but you know, kids don't got no boundaries. So
no, they don't.
It's like, "I just need you, Mom."
So you have to learn how to work with that. You know, I love my children. People say, "How do you have so many children?" But I love my triplets. I love my 9-year-old who's smaller than my triplets. My 5-year-olds. You know, I love my teenagers, even though they're driving me crazy.
Oh,
you
girl.
Know, like, they make me want to pull my hair out, you know. I love them. They're really good kids. They're just crazy right now. Yeah. You know? And
various stages. I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand that. So, mm-hmm. All right. So you get Wobby Gallery. It's already in spoken into existence. You got all the artists, you're pulling artists that you really enjoy and you admire working with. So what do you want to see happen into the future? Like if you had a crystal ball or whatever Indigenous folks do about thinking about the future, you know, smoke, burn whatever, burn some of the, yes, child, whatever, or the little tobacco things that you had in those red satin prayer. I still have the prayer. They're so beautiful. I haven't burnt not one yet because they're so beautiful. And I feel like if I burn them, they'll be gone. Like I don't want them to go.
Well, you know, what someone that can give you more. Okay.
Then I'll stop hoarding them. So what do you want for the future? What do you see into the future?
Well, let me tell you what I've done so far. So far I've started Focus Fellowship, which is a high school program for photographers. So I've gathered together about 8 kids that are focused high school students that are focused on photography as a means of they're learning the skill, the craft, and they started in October. And when they finish the program, they're going to have an exhibition and they'll walk away with camera equipment that will help them to sustain themselves. They'll have a website, they'll have an Instagram account, and they will have a portfolio that they can show people and say, hey, this is who I am. And if they want to go off to college and use it for college, they can do that. If they want to use it to sell themselves, they can do that. So that's the first programming that I've done. Now, next is to add more programming. So I want to teach. And so teaching is a big part of what I'm doing. So I'm adding programming as I go. I'm not just waiting for the building, right? So I've already put the website up. I've already, you know, I'm engaging artists to come and teach. I'm engaging people in the community. Kwejo is going to teach some classes with me. We're going to get some kids and put them together. We've already had these conversations. Oi Fortun, she is away, but she says she will teach some printmaking to some young people. So I'm talking to the young people in the people in the community to do collaborations who have space until Wobby Gallery, the physical building, is done later on this year. I want to see in the future a vibrant space that has professional exhibition space, this vibrant work share space, this community space where people can come and gather, that they can rent out if they want to have an event, that they can have gatherings if they need to call the troops together to fight for a cause or to communicate something, a place that we can give out coats if we need to give out coats or give out masks, or if people need to come in and, you know, we're still in COVID. If downtown needs a location to, you know, give out shots or something, that there's a place where people can come and get that. They can walk to it, right? That's what I want. I want a real community space, but I want an art space. And hey, guess what? While you're in there doing that and picking up your canned food, you know, because you need food and the food bank is closed and you're going to pick up your canned goods and the people that live in the building that work at Yale are going to drop some food off back to our creative, beautiful monument that we've curated to look like art, but is serving the community. While that is happening, you can look at some work. And we're going to teach you that you need to invest in art instead of Walmart art and that $20 piece and put that $20 into invested into an artist. So you know that that art is going to turn into $40 or $100 5 years from now because you want to follow that artist and watch the value of their work go up.
Exactly. I'm so glad you said that because that's how I came to art collecting. You know, when I was married, that's what we did. We would invest in a particular artist that we liked. Not, and you know, And we would just follow their career, you know. So we did that with a lot of people doing that. So that's how I learned. So that's a good way to do it, mm-hmm. You know, so buy some of Duleo's work because it's beautiful and it's affordable. At some point, it's going to be not.
Right. And so you know when an artist is going to really do it because of the passion that they have. You know, when you watch them and then they 1 year they're doing it, then 2 years they're doing it, and 5 years they're still doing it, and their resume is growing, and then people, you're looking at, oh, they are now in this person's collection, and now the value of their work is slowly creeping up, and you can't get a piece for $50 anymore, and you can't get a piece for $100. You know that person is going to become someone that you need to continue to invest in. Mm-hmm. I would like to be able to teach the people in the community that they need to do that. I want to teach them, hey, let's look at NFTs, right? The new way.
Which is all the conversation right now.
Right.
Whew. I so am grateful for this conversation. We talk all the time, but for the folks who are listening, I wish I could have more time on the other side of this to have, so y'all can really have more, listen to us really go in. But she'll be back. I'll have her back. Yeah. Because I'm such a fan of her and her work, and I'm so excited about Wabi Gallery. So thank you so much, Kim Weston. You are a treasure.
Thank you, Babs. You know, I was looking at your name the other day, and I was like, Babs should play some Lou Rawls.
Don't give Harry ideas, because Harry will go and dig up some Lou Rawls.
Harry, play some Lou Rawls for Babs for me.
Let me get out of here.
I love you, Babs. Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Kim. I adore you, and I'm looking forward to Wabi Gallery opening its doors, because I'm going to be right there, me and Ife, right there, co-working space.
All right.
Thank you so much. Kiss the baby, say hi to your wife, and I'll see you out here in these art streets.
All right. Take care, sis. Love you.
All right, my dear. Love you, too. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow, and y'all have a good day. Stay warm out there. It's cold. Hi, this is Babs Rawls-Ivins from New Haven, Connecticut, and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhavenindependent.org.